Well, we're continuing our series in the book of Proverbs called The Summer of Wisdom, where we're looking through the book of Proverbs, because Proverbs has wisdom about a lot of different topics. And I challenge you early in this series, and you can join it at any time. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, so take one 5 days a week and read through one, and maybe take a passage out that really sticks to you or something that God's trying to teach you, because Proverbs has a lot of wisdom, and sometimes it's extremely practical. And sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's serious, sometimes it's talking about really dangerous things. So I hope that you're doing that, or if you haven't, go ahead and get started this week. Spend some time reading through, because Proverbs has a lot of wisdom, and no matter what point of your life that you're at, you need wisdom. You need to have God's wisdom to determine, well, what should I do? What's the right next step? What's the thing that I should do next? What's the step that I should take? We're trying to figure out things like that. And one of the things that Proverbs discusses, which we're going to talk about today, is friendship. And we don't really think about friendship, I think, enough sometimes. There's very few songs. I was trying to think of songs that actually mention friendship. I mean, you've got a friend in me. That one, you know, you got a friend in me. I know you guys love it when I sing, so I gotta sing. You can join in with me on this one if you want to. Sometime in our lives, we all have friends. We all have sorrow. 4, 5. I know, yeah, we all sing that, you know. That gets to lean on me when you're not strong. You know, you kind of have that song about friends. But I mean, what else is it? Can you think of any other songs about friends? Anybody? What a friend we have in Jesus. That's cheating. Yeah. That's a church song. That's what friends are for. That's another one. Yeah, James Taylor. There's lots of different songs that are out there. But if I was to ask you, like, sing a song about love or a relationship, that's literally every other song ever made, right? Basically. I mean, we have, maybe if we were to really stretch ourselves, 10 to 20 songs that would come to our mind readily about friendship. But if we were to ask you, sing a song about love, or a guy singing about a girl, you could come up with hundreds, if not thousands, right? And that's basically every other song. We talk about friendship, or we think about it sometimes, but there's so many more songs about love, about that kind of relationship. But Proverbs is going to tell us that friendship is really important for us as well, that it's not just that kind of relationship that you should think about looking for a husband or a wife. It's friendship that's also very important for you as well. In fact, there was a TV show that many of you have probably seen that was really popular with my generation called Friends. Here's a picture of the crew. I mean, how many Friends fans are there in here? Yeah, a lot of fans. They're into it. It's a funny TV show, and I think one of the reasons why this is so popular, I mean, this is kind of my own theory. They look really young there, by the way, but this is my own theory on it. But I think one of the reasons why we kind of like that show is we kind of wish we were part of that group, right? We are kind of like the seventh person in the group, you know, like, we're all just friends, and I could just see us hanging out together on the couch or going to the Central Perk and having coffee. You know, you kind of have this perspective, and like I just kind of feel like I'm one of them. And I think the thing about this friendships that they have, they're always just hanging out with each other, right? How do they have time to go to coffee together every day? You know, how do they have time to do all this stuff, just hanging out? Because for us, I think that if we're honest, friends are usually the first thing to go. And when you get married, maybe, you know people that are like this, that when they get married, it's like they don't talk to you anymore. They kind of have a new priority, or they have kids and they just get too busy. Life is really busy. We're working 50, 60, 70-hour work weeks. We're busy with all the things that we have going on, the things that we're involved with. And so friends, I think, if we're honest, are kind of the first thing to go, partly because, I mean, you have relationships like this probably, where if you haven't talked with a friend in like 5 years or something, but then you get together and it's like that 5 years never passed. And so we can kind of easily just put our friends to the side because I'm really busy, I have a lot going on, and so yeah, I'll talk to them again in 5 years, and then it'll be like nothing ever really happened. It's easy for us to just put our friends off to the side, because we have other important things that are going on. But I think Proverbs would encourage us to really consider, to really deeply understand how important friendship is. So we see TV shows like Friends, and we kind of long for, you know, kind of in the crew in our own minds. But we don't really have deep friendships because life is just so busy. And one of the things that you learn about God as you read Scripture is that God is not just one, but in relationship, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's the Trinity, where relationship is at the core of who God is. And so when we are created in the image of God, we're created with that same longing. We need companionship. And Adam, when he's in the garden, and you'd have to think that if there's any time when things are just perfect, it's Adam being in relationship with God, right? But God sees that Adam needs something else. That he's named all the animals and it's not really connecting for him. He needs something else. He needs someone else. And usually when we think about that, we think about it as kind of like a marriage between Adam and Eve. But it's not just that. That's part of it. But it's a companion. Adam needs companionship. Eve needs companionship. We all need companionship. And oftentimes I think that in the church, we can make people feel that something's wrong with them if they're single or they haven't found that special someone yet. But really in the New Testament, Paul writes to the church and he says, if you have to get married, do it. But it's probably best if you don't. He writes like that, and it's kind of surprising. Because basically what Paul is saying is if you're not married, you don't have to spend time with your spouse. You can be like a double agent for the kingdom. That time that you would have to devote to your spouse, you can use for God's glory. You can use it, because when you do get married, yeah, you have to like sacrifice a lot and do that stuff. So why don't you just do that for the church? That's kind of what Paul is saying. And it's easy for us to elevate marriage a little bit in our minds, but Paul says, okay, if you have to. And really, it's shocking that in Christian history that is easy for us to kind of elevate married people, because the two most important people probably in Christian history, Jesus and Paul, were single, right? I mean, like, without them, we wouldn't be here. So we don't have to be married, but Scripture does say we need companions. We need friends. We need people along with us on our journey. Adam was alone. It wasn't good for him to be alone. We're called to have friends and also to be a friend, to be someone else's companion, to be someone who's close with someone else. I had a friend who told me recently that she had got a bird, and she was told that don't get a second bird, because otherwise your first bird won't ever talk to you again, basically, because once you get a second bird in there, they just become really tight, and it's like, okay, you just feed us, and that's it. Don't worry about it. I don't really want to mess with you anymore. So if you actually want to have a good relationship with a bird, apparently, there's good advice. Don't get a second bird, because they're going to like not really want to talk to you anymore. At every level, animals, humans, we have a need for companionship, and it's so deep in us. There was a Harvard University study that found this. The more friends women had, the more likely they would be leading a joyful life. Not having a close friend or confidant is as dangerous as smoking or being overweight. And they found that guys were a little bit like that, but they never wanted to share, so they probably... I mean, isn't that shocking? It's like smoking or being overweight. Those are like the first two things. There's a website called deathcalculator.com, and on deathcalculator.com, it asks you two questions to determine what day your death is going to be. And the two questions they ask you is, do you smoke or are you overweight? The two questions, body mass index, and you can go look at that later. But those are like the two most important things, right? It's just as dangerous not having a close friend or confidant as that? Wow. It's pretty crazy, isn't it? And we kind of think we can just take or leave friends that, you know, that one friend who I really love, but, you know, every time we get together, it's like nothing, no time ever passed. We can kind of just take or leave it. It's really not that big of a deal. But Proverbs is going to tell us something, that friends are important. That they really can dictate direction in your life. They can dictate a lot about your life. So today I just kind of want to consider three things that Proverbs says about friends. The first one is this, Proverbs 12:26, "The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." When I read this passage, I can't help but think of an illustration that I saw. You might have seen it when a teacher got up in front of us when I was in the youth group, and he stood on a chair. And someone came alongside him, and he said, "All right, I'm going to try to pull this person up." And he went and tried to do it, and it was impossible, even though it was a teenage kid. He wasn't even that heavy, but he couldn't lift him up. And this kid, who was a lot lighter, he tried to pull the teacher down, and it was pretty easy. He almost pulled him off the chair because he wasn't that surprised. It's a lot easier for people to pull us down than it is for us to pull other people up. And that doesn't mean don't try and influence other people with the gospel and don't be around people, because I think the example of Jesus is that we do spend time, and people that aren't like Jesus. So it's important to have those relationships too. But we also need to have some close friends, some people who do lift us up. And this proverb says, choose your friends carefully. And this is something that I think we really stress when our kids are, especially in middle school and high school, you know, be really careful about the friends that you choose. Be really careful about the friends that you choose when you go to college. But once you get past that point, you don't really think about it as much anymore. We act like it's not that big of a deal. But it's still so critical for us. Benjamin Franklin had a line that sounds kind of like this proverb. He says, "If you lie down with dogs, you're going to rise up with fleas." If friends are so vital, it's not just, and this passage kind of reveals this to us, it's not just about somebody that builds you up. It's also about how it's going to dictate your journey, how it's going to dictate you going forward. Like the wicked, if you go and spend too much time around influences that are going to be bad, it's going to lead you astray. So that's the first thing that I think Proverbs says about friendship, that you need to be really careful about the friends that you choose because they're so important. They're critical. So I'd have you ask, what are my friends doing? What kind of influences are the friends that I have in my life? Are they influencing me in positive directions or not? And then a second proverb that I think talks about this as well is Proverbs 3:3, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart." And that's a proverb that is just a good life principle for all of us to have all the time, right? To be loving and faithful. And that's one that if you're not careful, you can easily just jump to thinking about a spouse, right? Like, I want to be loving and faithful to my spouse. But this proverb doesn't say just be loving and faithful to a certain person or in a certain situation. This is just be loving and faithful always. Be loving and faithful like as an individual. And we have a book that's very popular that is called How to Win Friends and Influence People. But the Bible isn't interested in us thinking about how to win friends so we can manipulate them or that we can force them to do what we want them to do. Instead, the Bible is concerned with us thinking about being faithful, being a loving friend, being the kind of a friend that doesn't just hang out when it's fun, but a friend who is loving and faithful in all kinds of situations. The term for love there is the Hebrew term chesed. Can you say that with me with a little phlegm? Chesed. That's an important word, and that's the word that is used to describe God's love. Over and over again in Hebrew, that term comes up that it's this chesed, this faithfulness that God has for us. And it's not just a feeling. So often we think of love as a feeling, but it's this steadfast faithfulness. It's this steadfast acts of kindness during storms, during good times, during all of these seasons. The kind of love that God has for us, the chesed that God feels for us, this is what this passage is telling, that we would have that kind of love at all times for all people. And we think about friends. How are you demonstrating that kind of love to them? Are you showing them acts of kindness? Are you saying to them, you are very important to me? There's a Turkish proverb that says, a wise man remembers his friends at all times, a fool only when he has need of them. I spent some time this week with Bonnie Gentry. And I'm going to ask some people in our church throughout this series, when I'm talking about some of these practical things, some questions. And if I ask you those questions, it's not that I'm saying that you're old. I'm saying that you're a sage, that you are very wise, that you have some wisdom for us. And so I asked Bonnie Gentry, what kind of advice would you have for friends? And those of you who don't know her, she's a lady who's been part of our church forever. And she said this: have friends over all the time. Even if all you have is a cake or some fruit to give them, have them in your home. And that's something that is so simple, right? But in our culture, it's like speaking a foreign language almost to invite a friend over into your home. It's just so easy to meet up somewhere else, to meet up for dinner someplace, but imagine the different story that it tells, and not just when you have a big meal, not when you have the, because it's easy for us to think about, okay, I'll invite people over when I have that 7-course meal prepared, but you're never going to have that 7-course meal prepared, probably. But I love what she said, even if you have some fruit, you know, if you just have some grapes, say, hey, come over for grapes. You know, what an interesting perspective, right, that we would just have people over in our house. And she told me a story about how at a church that she went to before, every Sunday she used to have the minister and his wife over, and she would serve them lunch, and they would always invite some other people as well. And I said, I'm sorry that I missed out on that boat. But in simple things like this, it's almost foreign in our world to invite people over. We want to have everything clean. We want to have everything in order, and then we'll have people over. But this is some great wisdom, isn't it? You just develop this kind of relationship, even in simple ways, to have people over, to extend grace to them, even if all you have is a cake. Usually a cake is enough for me to invite people over, but even if it's just fruit. This is the kind of love that we need to develop in our lives. I think of the story of Jackie Robinson, who was the first African-American player to play in Major League Baseball. And he was going through a lot of trouble breaking the color barrier. It was very hard. He would get yelled at all the time, and people were always saying things to him. If you've seen the movie 42, you might know about this and know this story. But in the middle of one of the games, he made an error for the Dodgers, and the crowd just started booing him. It was in Cincinnati, and just imagine being there and 40,000 people just raining down boos on you, and he's standing there alone. And then the white shortstop, Pee Wee Reese, came over and put his arm around Jackie Robinson, and they stood there together, and they all just, and they, it says that they just stared at the crowd. And Jackie Robinson said that arm around his neck saved his baseball career. I mean, how hard would that be to have all these people insulting you and saying things about you, and then imagine just to feel that arm around your neck? There's a statue of it in New York. Here it is. There's no picture of that moment happening. What a powerful, powerful moment. And for Pee Wee Reese, it's kind of the example of, you know, Bonnie mentioned kind of the small things, having people over into your home, but in the big moments, are you able to see when a friend really needs that arm around their shoulder? Are you able to see when a friend maybe needs you to make a sacrifice and go over to them and show them love? Because what a sacrifice to go and in that moment say, hey, I'm with you right now. I've got your back. You know, wow, right? And there's so much in our lives. We're busy. We have so many things going on. But are there people that you're looking out for with that kind of love? That kind of love that is going to be there even during the hard times. So the second thing for us to think about is, are we demonstrating this kind of mercy and love to our friends? This love that doesn't even sometimes make sense, but this love that will come in little ways and in big ways and show people the love that we have for them. And a third thing for us to consider with friends, in Proverbs 17:9, it says, Whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Now, this is very true, isn't it? That's the thing about Proverbs. It tells you things that you already know and things that happen to you constantly. It tells us that if you're dealing with people, there are going to be issues, right? If you're in a relationship with somebody, whether it's a husband or wife, whatever kind of relationship, again, this isn't specifically talking about friends, but any kind of relationship that happens, there's going to be friction. There's going to be issues. A proverb that you're probably familiar with is Proverbs 17:7. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And that's one that we know when we kind of like it. We're like, yeah, iron sharpening iron. I like that image. But think about that image, really. It's two things, just friction. For iron to be sharpened, it's a painful process, right? And oftentimes when it comes to pain or when there's pain in a relationship, that's when we want to withdraw. That's when we want to run away. And maybe you've done that in a relationship. Maybe you've had a friend and you decided that something has happened, and maybe God needs you to be part of that relationship for something bigger than yourself, that you would learn and grow. Because again, we like the image of iron sharpening iron, but it probably hurts. A Christian friendship is about us being sanctified. Sanctified is a big word, isn't it? It's one of those nice long words, but it just basically means being made holy. Christian friendship is when we make each other holy, and it's so easy when you're feeling pain or going through something to just withdraw. But maybe if you would instead cover over an offense, maybe the way that you need to be sharpened a little bit would actually happen. So I want you to think as we close today, as we think about these three things. First, that choosing your friends is important. Who you choose is a critical thing. Then secondly, are you demonstrating to your friends this kind of loving kindness? And then third, are you willing to overlook offenses, because there's going to be offenses? As we close, I want you to think, who are three of your closest friends, three people who have meant a lot to you in your life? Take a minute and think about three of those people. It doesn't have to be a best friend. You know, when you're in junior high or elementary school, you choose your BFF and then you're tied to them forever. It doesn't necessarily need to be your best friend. But who are three friends who in your journey have meant a lot to you? Now, as you're thinking of them, maybe, or maybe you need more time to think of who you might want to bless this week, I want to challenge you to write them a letter this week by hand. I know it's hard. I'm going to teach you how to do it. Here, you take a pen. Here's this thing called a pen. It's a great utensil. You can use it to write on things. I know you don't really see it. And then you get a piece of paper. That's what's next. Yeah, piece of paper with your pen on your wood table. And after you're done composing this letter, you get an envelope and a stamp. And how great is it going to be if you ask your friends for their address and you're not asking them for money? Because that's pretty much the only reason, right? You pretty much ask for people's addresses when you're getting married, when you're having a baby, or when you're like hitting them up for some money. So you ask them for their address, they're going to be a little scared, but they'll give it to you. And how blessed will they be when they receive this letter and it's not asking for money at all? So my challenge for you is just think of three people who've meant a lot in your life and write them a handwritten letter just saying what you've appreciated about them as friends, how their friendship has meant a lot to you. Because one thing that you see in the book of Proverbs, you think about it through the lens of friendship. Christians should be really great friends. We should be great friends. People should love the fact that we're in their lives. And Proverbs tells us that friendships really, really matter. It matters about the direction of your life. It matters about where you're going. It matters about who you've been. People in your life have shaped you into who you are. Friendships really matter. Again, it's so easy because we're so busy. We have so many important relationships, so many things that can so quickly go off, and we can put our friends off to the side. It doesn't really matter. I'll catch up with her or him in a few years, and it'll be just fine. Maybe you're meant this week to share with someone just how much they've meant to you. So my challenge is for you to do that. And after you've done it, I want some people to just email me. You don't have to tell me who you wrote it to. You don't even have to share the contents of your letter. But I just want you to actually do it. So I'm hoping that I'll get at least 15 people who write me back and say, Brian, I did that this week. I even went and got that weird stamp that you told me about. And I found a mailbox. It was so weird. I didn't even know where one was. Because, church, we should be great friends, and friends are so important. That's what Proverbs tells us very, very practically. Your friends matter a lot, and they're making you who you are. They have made you who you've been. So are you treating them like you should? Are you treating with the love and the respect that you should? Because they're like gold. That's how you should treat them. Let's pray. Father, it's so easy for us to just put our friends to the side, to take them for granted, to not enter in when it might be a costly situation for us to walk over and put an arm around their neck. Father, I pray for us all that we would be really, really good friends, that we would be able to show this kind of love to Christian people, to non-Christian people, that they would be able to know there's something different about the way that we treat them and love them. Father, I thank you for all the people who've made us who we are. If we were to line them up, it would be in the thousands, I'm sure, the people that come to our mind. But I pray for all of us that as we consider this challenge this week, that we'll take it seriously, that we'll write to three good friends and tell them just how much they've meant to us. Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ, who is ultimately our best friend, and we celebrate in that. But I pray that because of his love, that we would be loving friends as well, that we would love our friends just like your son loved us. I lift us all up this week and pray as we consider this idea, this very practical concept of friendship from the book of Proverbs. I just pray over all of us as we consider who we might write to. In your son's name I pray. Amen.